Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day. It's such an important time, really, at this time of struggle and trial in the church, which we talked about all last week, and I know it's in the conversation of many people in the church. There's no better response than for us to be the church and set aside the Lord's Day and to be a part of the celebration of the liturgy, to commune with God's people, to unite our prayers and cries with the Lord himself, who's offering himself, you know, body, soul, divinity, offering himself to the Father on that altar at Mass. And we're communing with him. And there's nothing like it. It's the perfect antidote for all of us at a time of trial and struggle to be fed by the Lord, to be communing with his people, to offer praise and worship to him, to confess his lordship over all, and to let his word encourage us, let his food feed us. Yeah, so we can see him. And the key to all of what's happening in the life of the church these days is for us to draw near to Christ and to be able to be more conformed to him, to live with him more deeply. And friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune to the program last week, I spent the week talking about kind of answering a question, what time is it? What are we experiencing? What are we battling through in these days? How do we understand the trial that the church is going through? How do we respond to it? I'm going to talk about the response a little bit more this week, but put it in the context of what the church teaches, the scriptures and the catechism teach about, in a broad sense, the time we're living in, which is the time between the two comings of Jesus. The scripture calls it the last hour. And it's very important in paragraph 672 of the catechism, quoting and expressing what Jesus taught very clearly, is that this is the time right now of the Spirit and of witness. So we can ask ourselves, where am I meant to be in this time? I'm meant to be living in the Spirit, and I'm meant to be living as a witness for Christ, extending his love to those around me, in my family, my neighborhood, whatever, and to be part of his great commission, his mission for the church. So to be alive in the Spirit is the one who makes it possible for us to be united to the Father and to be united to Jesus, to be temples. We're temples of the Holy Spirit, and we're given power and a capacity in the Holy Spirit to begin to live a new way of life, to share in the life that belongs to Christ, to share in his holiness, and to share in his mission. That's the fundamental thing the Holy Spirit wants us to be moving in, because this is the time of the Spirit and of mission. And the catechism in that same paragraph says, but it's also the time of great trial, a time of distress for the church, because she's battling and she has to engage this trial of evil, the paragraph 672 describes. And this struggle with evil will ultimately lead to and usher in the final battle of the last days, the struggles of the last days, the catechism says. So I talked a lot about that last week. I won't pick that up again. So I'd encourage you, if you'd like to know more about it, just go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are right there on the computer. You can download them, listen to them on the computer, or put them on whatever device works for you to listen to them at your leisure. I think you'll find them helpful. I wouldn't mind hearing your feedback on it, because I think it'd be good for us to be in conversation with one another to say, what is the Lord saying to you? What are you hearing the Lord say in this moment? What good teachings, homilies, things have you heard that you think really shed light? Or what has the Lord given you directly in your prayer? So the key thing for us to do is just to draw near to God and to especially not absent ourselves from the assembly of gathering on Sunday to worship the Lord. So today I'd like to continue along the theme of last week. In particular, I want to talk a little bit more about spiritual strongholds, because of what I mentioned on Thursday and Friday, was that one of the reasons why the church is undergoing this great trial of getting her sins exposed, sort of state after state, serious things being revealed about significant leaders within the church. Look, we know it's kind of shock to hear it. It's difficult to endure it. At the same time, should be no surprise that there's sin in the church. The church is a gathering of sinners who've been forgiven of their sins, and we can fall back into habit patterns of sin. And what I mentioned last week was that the scripture talks about this spiritual battle and talks about strongholds and how strongholds can get formed in our minds and individuals, can get formed in groups of people, in whole societies like the former Soviet Union, that is where a whole way of thinking, a whole value system, a whole habit pattern of life and government energy and laws are set against the Lord and against his anointed and make it easy to resist God and sort of isolate people from hearing the truth and the will of God. I remember the first time I went to Lithuania shortly after the wall fell in 1989. It was early 90s we were there. And it was kind of staggering to hear the stories of how aggressively the Soviets tried to make it nearly impossible for Catholics to access Bibles, to access the catechism, or to access the teaching of the popes, the magisterium, things like that, to cut them off from. And they legitimized it through, you know, their whole political system and what they described as, they lied about it, but they were saying, you know, this is freedom, this is truth, and all the rest of it. But it ultimately was a system that was really set against man and against freedom, and ultimately because it did that because it was ultimately set against God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So one of the first things you see in Paul's words here is that we talk about power to destroy strongholds. He makes the point that the strongholds are formed by arguments, lofty opinions against the knowledge of God. The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's our mortal enemy. He's a murderer from the beginning, and his whole way of being is to seduce us by telling us lies. Lies about God, lies about ourselves, lies about him, and it's ultimately the battle begins in the mind. And Paul's point here is to say that the way you combat strongholds of the enemy is with spiritual weapons, not with worldly weapons. You know, with the Bible, with the sword of the Spirit, with truth, with sacraments, with the right kind of support, the rest of it. We battle against strongholds because every one of us is susceptible because of concupiscence, because of the flesh. You know, our battle is against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The saints tell us, the apostles told us in Scripture that we need to be alert. We need to be awake. In fact, the very passage from the Catechism last week that I spoke about quite a bit on Thursday and Friday, talking about the distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church in this hour. This ushers in the struggles of the last days, and that Jesus described this time as a time of waiting and watching, being watchful. And the apostles echoed that. So you'd hear Peter say things like, be alert, be sober, be clear-headed, right? Be watchful, because your adversary prowls around, Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And what does he say often? Resist him. Resist the devil. Resist the devil's temptations. And one of the ways the devil tempts us is he seduces us, just like with Adam and Eve in the garden, to sow doubt about God, what God said, the meaning of God's word, what's good for me. So in the garden, he raises the question with Adam and Eve. Did he really tell you not to eat of that tree? Wonder why he did that. I think he probably did it, this tree of knowledge of good and evil. He doesn't want you to have that tree because that's the tree. If you eat the fruit, it'll make you just like him. And he doesn't want you to be like him. He wants you to be subject to him. He wants you to be under him. He doesn't want you to be equal to him. So all these kinds of temptations. And so what do? They believe a lie, right? And that's the source of original sin. We believe the seductive lies of the enemy. And what can happen in the lives of individuals, like in whole societies I mentioned, we can In some ways, friends, we can even inherit lies that become strongholds in us. For example, if you grow up in a family where there's lots of serious dysfunction and there's habit patterns of sin around that dysfunction, and there's lies that people believe about themselves, maybe that they're no good, that they're worthless, that they're drunks, that they're never going to be any good, that they're not worth anything. And you grow up in an environment like that and you hear people, maybe your parents, your father actually saying it to you. And a lie, that's a lie, right? And that lie gets spoken to you and the lie gets internalized, because the one who was meant to be a place of protection and safety for you is himself enslaved, because possibly he lived through the same kind of thing. But you internalize a lie. I'm not worth anything. I'm not any good. No one will ever love me. How can anybody ever forgive me? I have to save myself. I have to be perfect for God to pay attention to me. Whatever the lies might be. And if we believe the lie, that's where we give the enemy the freedom and the capacity to begin to really enslave us. And he will continue feeding you that lie until literally it becomes an identity. It begins to form us. It's the way we think about ourselves. And in that case, if we think about ourselves that way, what does that end up doing? It leads us to ways of acting out often that are very self-destructive, often deeper habit patterns of sin that cripple us and bind us. Right? And then what those sins do is they reinforce everything we thought about ourselves in the beginning, right? From believing that lie. And then as soon as someone tries to bring light into the situation, or some positive or good happens, or somebody gives you a word from the Lord, maybe something from Scripture to encourage you, a little light will go on for a moment, but it's not long before that light goes out, because what the enemy does is he circles back and he bombards us with the lies. And he's trying to protect the stronghold that he helps cement in us, that some way we gave him permission to do, but it's what keeps us enslaved. And what we need to do is we need to identify the lie with the truth. And how you identify the lie by calling it what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie to say you're not worth anything. You're made by God. You're made in God's image and likeness. Even if you've fallen into sin, you could say, well, then I can't be forgiven because I fell into sin. Guess what? 70 times, 7 times a day, if you're baptized into Christ, you have every right to come to God and to receive his mercy and his forgiveness. He's in your court. He's on your side. God is your Father. God loves you. He wants you to walk in freedom and not live under the condemnation of the enemy. Problem is, we believe the lies that the enemy keeps feeding us. We've got to expose those lies. We have to renounce those lies, and we have to resist the devil, like St. Peter said. Resist those lies. Peter said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have more authority in Christ, even if you feel weak, you have more authority in Jesus Christ than you realize. So it's so important for us to take authority, to stand in the truth, and feed our minds with the truth so we can walk with a renewed mind. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.